say you searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live. This the way to go.
The show.
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 You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Again, when it comes to being wholehearted, or when someone is wholehearted in their character, it says about that individual that they are sincere and that they are real. When someone is wholehearted, it says that they are sincere, genuine, or simply real. And the Lord has just been sending us message after message, imploring us that it is urgent for us as young men and young women to be real. God wants his young people, young adults and adults, to be real. Got to be real. Look at somebody and say, the Lord wants us to be real. That's right. I need that to get down in your spirit. It's time for us, even the more, to be sincere Christians. Genuine people of God. Not play around. God wants you and I to be real. If he chose me, and he did, to be pastor, I need to be a real pastor. I need to make sure that I'm feeding God's people, specifically his youth and young adults, knowledge and understanding. I need to make sure as a worshiper, I'm a real worshiper, that I worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Don't play with it. Just be real. But it's just not for the pastor. It's for God's church. He wants all of us to be real. And when it comes to our God, I need you to understand, our God, Jesus, is serious about us being real. Now, he's a gracious God, and he wants us to grow. But whatever level we are at, we need to be wholehearted people of God. We need to be real. I need to show you how serious our God is when it comes to being real. Let's go to Matthew 12. Y'all turn with me to Matthew chapter number 12. And notice verse number 30. And look at what Jesus said in this verse as it pertains to people being wholehearted, genuine, sincere, or real. Look at this. This is strong. Y'all ready for this? Yes. All right. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Bottom line, Jesus said, look, either you are with me or you're against me. Bottom line, I need you to be real. What are you? Are you with me? Are you against me? Do you love me or do you hate me? Do you want me or do you not want me? Can I break it down in our hometown? Are you saved or not? Are you going to praise me or not? Are you going to give or are you going to rob? It's no in between. Now, I'm going to tell you something that the old folk used to say, because many of you may not have a lot of old people in your life, but it's an old term that the old folk used to do, especially in the church. And they said, you can't straddle the fence. Okay? You can't be talking about you real and you got 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. No, you caught between two opinions. You got to pick a side. Either you're going to be in the world, and understand, anyone who is in the world does not have the love of the Father, or you're going to be in God. And the Bible says God is love. So either you're in the world or in the church. If somebody asks you, are you Christian? You say, no. It's either you is or you ain't. It's one or the other. And this is what our God said. Look, are you with me or not? Let's go to chapter 5. Didn't nobody answer that question. Yeah, that was a question, right? Too late. It's Jeopardy. We moving on. Let's go to Matthew 5 for 300. Let's go to Matthew 5. I know y'all listening. Verse 37. Again, we're looking at how our God takes being real a serious matter. Matthew 5 and look at 37. Now here go Jesus again, dropping another bomb. But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So when it comes to our God, it's either a yes or a no. Bottom line, yes or no. Have you said yes to Jesus? Yes or no. Have you laid that weight and sin aside? It's either a yes or a no. Well, Pastor, ain't it a process? Yeah, it's a process, but are you being real in that process? What's your answer? We got to go ahead and be real. Be sincere. And occasionally, listen to me, you have to ask yourself these type of questions in life. When it comes to your relationship with God, when it comes to your relationship with other people, when it comes to the efforts that you're putting forth in order to be productive, you have to ask yourself, man, am I really trying to get an A in this class? Am I really trying? Or am I just playing around? Am I really trying to lose weight? Or am I just playing around? It's either a yes or a no. Do I really want to have money or do I like being poor? Do I really want to have money or do I like being poor? Yes or no. And then he said, anything else is from the evil one. Now, he didn't say the devil, because sometimes we can be the evil one. He didn't say anything else is from the devil. No, sometimes when we walk in the flesh, that's sinful or evil. So we bottom line, are we lining up with God's word or not? Again, our God is serious about us being real. Now get out of your head, you got to be perfect. God does not require perfection. But the scripture teaches we should be constantly striving. That's what the Bible teaches, that we should be reaching forth and pressing. Pressing toward what, Pastor? A higher mark. We should always be trying to do better. And see, in a season of better, God is releasing bigger and better, but he's also expecting us to do better. And so you have to ask yourself, you and I, we have to ask ourselves, am I really trying to do better? Or am I just saying that because they say that at the church? Am I really trying to have better? And am I trying to do better? Just be real. Do you have a problem in your life in this particular area? Just be real. Are you bound by a particular thing? Just be real about it. Lord, this thing has got me. Don't play games with it. Just be real with it. See, the Bible teaches that God is near to those who have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. What does that mean? When we just be real with God, He'll help us. He's near to those that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Two writers said it like this: God gives grace to the humble, but the proud he resists. If you just go ahead and break down and be real, God will help you. But some of us, God can't help because we don't want to be real. You got to be real. As a parent, you got to be real. Am I spoiling my child? Am I messing my child up? I just need to be real. Am I too overprotective? I just gotta be real. Am I cheap? Do I like the wrong type of people? Just gotta be. If you be real, God will help you. When you look in Scripture, one of our patriarchs or great examples was Peter. Peter talked good game. Man, Peter always talking about how much he loved the Lord, how he died for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? He never leave the Lord. But then you turn around and you look, Peter over here fighting and cutting folk ears off, leaving the Lord, cussing folk out, walking on water, drowning at the same time. How you walk on water and drown at the same time? Peter was just up and down. He wouldn't be sincere. He wouldn't be real. He meant it when you read his scripture, but he just wasn't consistent. But when Peter finally got the Holy Spirit, when he got some power, and you read about the change in Peter's life, you just saw him being real throughout his life. He was so real one time that God told Peter to go to this man's house and minister to him. And the Peter was so real, he told the Lord, you know we don't fool with them folk. He said, I ain't going over there. But the Lord told him, look, this is what I want you to do. And he obeyed God, went over there, and folk got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it don't matter where you are in life. If you just be real with God, God will help you and I. And I'm telling you, when I made up in my mind that I was going to be real, God helped me. I used to like being a little player. I was something like a player. You know what I'm saying? I was something like a player. But when I got real and told God, I said, Lord, I'm done with this. I'm just going to be the man that you want me to be. And when it's time for me to find my good thing, so be it. And when I made up in my mind, when I first had a willing mind, you know what God did? He helped me. He helped me. I wasn't a player. No more. And I don't know where you are in your life, but God wants me to help someone today to let you know he will help you if you start being real, sincere, or genuine. God's ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear. His arm is not too short that it cannot say. God will help all of us. But we got to be, help me, got to be real. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Either we with them or we against them. And I don't know about you, but even the world is putting pressure on folk. You got to make a choice. Either you're going to be with the world or you're going to be with God. You have to make a stand, just like them Hebrew boys. I'm with the Lord. How many young folk we got in here? You with the Lord by a show of hands. And you're not ashamed. You're not ashamed. Now, he's still working on us, but I'm with the Lord. How many of the Lord still working on you in here? Let me see them hands in here. That's it. But all you have to do is be, help me, be real. If you know you here and you're not saved, just be real. Lord, I don't know what it means to be a Christian, but I do know I don't want to go to hell. Just be real. And so in our text, in John chapter number 8, Jesus had an audience of Jews, the chosen people of God. And the text says that these Jews believed in him. They believed in him. Now, it was important that they believed in him, but it was not only important that they believe in Jesus, we need to believe in Jesus. You know, the Bible says even demons believe in the Lord. They even believe in the name of Jesus. Your belief, young people, is powerful. Matter of fact, tell somebody that. Say, your belief is powerful. That's right. Our belief, even as young men and young women, is very powerful. How we choose and who we choose to believe can cause two things to happen in our life. I'm already dealing with the text. First and foremost, if you and I choose to believe or have confidence in somebody or something, but especially Jesus, your belief can cause you to be successful in life. If you choose to believe Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, you are guaranteed to be successful or productive in life. That's what the Bible teaches. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not my word or not Jesus. Jesus will not fail. He cannot lie. And so if you and I choose to believe the written and the revealed word of God, we can be successful. Well, Pastor, I'm hooked on something. Believe Jesus. Believe what he said in his word, and you won't be hooked on it much longer. Well, I got a bad habit or two in my life. All you need to do is repent and believe the gospel or the word, and God will help you to be productive. Well, my daddy ain't in my life. All you need to do is believe the gospel, and where your father and mother forsaking you, the Lord will establish or take care of you. Look at somebody say, your belief is powerful. One prophet in the Old Testament, young folk, write this down if you're real about the notes you take. 2 Chronicles 20:20. He said, if you believe the Lord your God, you'll be established. That's what it says in part. Your belief is powerful. If you believe God or his word, you're going to be established. You're going to be in the best and safest place you could ever be. God will plant you in prosperity. You are going to be productive if you just stay in the will of God or believing your God or his word. But then he goes on to say, if you believe his prophets, you shall prosper. That sounds like success to me. If I believe God's men and women of God, he got to bless me. He got to move for me. He got to rescue me when I get in trouble. He got to heal me when I get sick in my body. He got to work out everything together for my good in this life. Why? I believe the messages that he has given his prophets. His prophets, young folk, are his mouthpiece here on earth. And if we believe his written word and his revealed word, you're going to be successful. Matter of fact, it ain't no going to be to many of us. We're successful right now. I said, God is blessing many of us right now. Why are you in your teens? Why are you in your 20s? Why are you in your 30s? Yeah, that's young too. Even in your 40s and 50s, that's still young. God is blessing his folk that believe his word and his prophets. Am I right about it? He blessing. He blessing. I said he is blessing. I want him to keep blessing. But at the same time, if you choose to have unbelief, look how powerful that is. Your unbelief can cause you to miss the mighty works of God. Your unbelief in the written word and what God gives his prophets can cause you to miss a mighty or mighty works of God. God ready to do greater things in your life, but you'll miss it if you do not believe. God ready to move some things in your life, but you'll miss the move if you do not believe. Look at this. I'm going to have it right here, but if you're taking notes, write it down. Matthew 13:58. Look at this. Jesus went to one particular town to preach, and he couldn't do nothing great. As powerful as Jesus is, he couldn't do great things. Look at why. Matthew 13:58. Read it along with me. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He didn't do many mighty works because of unbelief. They missed it. They didn't get no unexpected blessing. They didn't believe. See, they were just looking at Jesus as Mary and Joseph's son. He had relatives in that city, family members, cousins, and so forth. And some of them, they didn't see him as an anointed man of God, the Son of God. They didn't see him as the way, the truth, and the life. They were looking at him naturally, and they missed it. They missed the mighty work. And see, you can't be looking like, man, I'm only 18. God ain't gonna do that in my life. You'll miss a mighty work. Man, I'm only 13. God can't do that in my life. You'll miss it. Man, I got some bad habits in my life. God ain't going to do that for me until I'm perfect. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. All you need to do is make sure you don't get unbelief in your heart. That's one of the things you need to do. Because if we allow unbelief to come in, we're going to miss what God want to do. God telling you to come give your life to him, get saved, rededicate your life, and on your mind is something else, and you don't put into action what you heard, you're going to miss what God wants to do for you. And I don't know about you, I can't afford to miss what God want to do for me. Not when we serve a God and the only type gifts that he gives are good and pleasant. He gives things that's going to cause our life to be better. I ain't got time to miss that. I might miss your phone call. I might miss your email. I might miss your tweet, or I might miss your picture you posted on Instagram. But one thing I do not have time to miss is what God is releasing to his people, because it's going to be good and it's going to be perfect. It's going to bless my family. It's going to bless me. And then it's going to help me to mature. How many want everything God has for you? And I'm telling you, God is loosening some things right now for his young folk. God is loosening some things right now for his young folk. And you don't or can't afford to miss what God has for you. And God ain't going to make us want what he has. We got to want it. That's why it's important for us to believe. Believe has two meanings here in the text. First of all, when we believe in our God, y'all still with me? Because I'm breaking it down real good, I must say. Thank you, Lord. When it comes to belief, first of all, a person that believes, it says that they're hungry for the word. That's what these Jews was. They was hungry for that word. They had to have that word. And see, we got to be the same way. We got to be hungry for righteousness. We got to be hungry for that rhema word. We got to come in here, some of us knowing we done worked 10 and 12 hours the night before. Oh, Lord, some of us going through things in our body and in our family, but you still down on the inside of you need to have a hunger and thirst for that word. Some of you right now got folk trying to pull on you in Snapchat and send you messages, but you got to learn how to put that on silence, because you got a hunger and a thirst for the word, and you understand one sentence in the service can change your life for the better. One song from the praise team can change your life for the better. Something the minister say when he get up to pray and receive the offering, I said, can change your life for the better. One paragraph that the pastor deals with in the message can change your life for the better. better, so you got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You ain't thinking about the game after church. You ain't thinking about your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You are focused on that word, because the word is what's going to give you and I life. Jesus said, young folk, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that come from the mouth of God. Lord, I love preaching to young folk that know the Bible. You can finish the verse before I even put it on the table. See, you got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Now, you may not be able to tell me where it's at, but you know that verse. And that's all we need right there. You got to have that word in your heart. Why, Pastor? Why do I need to have the word in my heart? Because if the word is in my heart, I won't sin or miss what God has for me. So when we believe, young folk, it says we have a what? Hunger for the word. Second thing belief means, it means that they were trusting the Lord. They were trusting the Lord. And see, that's what the Lord wants us to do here at Refuge. He's been giving Bishop messages saying we got to trust him. And he basically been giving us some of the same type messages saying we need to trust the Lord. Young folk, we got to trust the Lord. Not the media, not the world system. We need to trust who? The Lord. And see, that's what's going on in our day and time. And I know y'all see it because y'all intelligent. The world wants us to trust them. I mean, they want us to be connected and attached to them hard. But see, I understand the scriptures. It is better to trust or have confidence in the Lord than in man. And so I know the world going to say some things, and most of it going to be lies. That's why I have my trust in the Lord. I have my trust in his written word, and I have my trust in his revealed word. What does belief mean? It means we have a what? Hunger for the word, and it means we trust the Lord. But believing is not enough. It's a good start, but it's not enough, young folk. We need to be believers, but it's not enough. And we see that in our text. Jesus challenged his audience to not only be believers, but to be disciples. I need you to be disciples. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody say, he want us to be disciples. That's what he said in the text. Yeah, I'm talking to some Jews that believe, but if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If. See, you got to choose to not only be a believer, but to be a disciple. See, you got some young folk, they believe in Jesus. They believe in what we're doing here in the church all through high school. But then when they hit 18, 19 and get out on their own, you can see that's all they did. They was just believers. We need you not only to be a believer, but you also need to be a disciple. Well, what's the difference? A disciple is a learner. I'm hearing what the preacher's saying, and I'm putting it into what? Action. That's how you know when somebody learns. They get directions and they do it. But if I can give you directions and you don't do it, you ain't learned. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. Where master go, the disciple go. If the master go into prayer, the disciple goes into what? Prayer. If the master don't say nothing, then the disciple don't what? Don't say nothing. The disciple and the master, they're one. They're together. We're disciples of Christ. I'm a disciple of Walker. I imitate him. You need to be a disciple of Baker. Am I right about it? You don't need to be no disciple or no rapper in the world. You don't need to be no disciple of Pooh Shiesty. You don't need to be no disciple of Beyonce. You're going to be just like your master then. The disciple looks and talks and thinks just like the master. See, I look and talk and make choices like my pastor. I follow his teaching. Right? Now, I'm me. I got my own personality. You know, I'm smooth with it, baby. But I got his spirit. You need to have my spirit if I'm truly your pastor. You need to follow my teachings. Same thing. You learn and you follow. You learn and you follow. Who is your master? You may not tell us, but all we got to do is look at how you're thinking, talking, and acting. Who is your master? Who are you thinking like, talking like, and acting like? Now, I don't smoke weed, so where you get that from? What master you get that from? I don't smoke weed. Where you get that from? You following or learning from somebody else. I don't shake my tail on social media. Where you get that at? You done picked that up from somebody else. I don't curse folk out. I feel like it sometimes, but I don't do it. This is some good teaching right here. I'm getting too much help, but this is some sound doctrine right here. You even got sinners, they'll tell you, I study Tupac, I study Biggie, I study so-and-so. It's a principle you can't get away from. You're going to learn and follow somebody. You can't get away from it. You got actors that study other type actors. They'll tell you, I learned this from so-and-so. I learned this from so-and-so. You're gonna learn and follow somebody. But the key thing I want us to remember while I'm dealing with the text, a disciple is a disciplined person. One of the root meanings of disciple is discipline. I have to learn self-control. I gotta be disciplined as a young man, or you as a young woman. Discipline in your sex life. Discipline in your attitude. Discipline with your money. Discipline, discipline, discipline in every aspect of life. I have to have self-control. When you get a new job, they train you. They're telling you how to control yourself on that job. And so the same premise in God's house. When we come into God's house, we got to be renewed. We got to be transformed. And he transforms us by the renewing of our mind, that we may know how to behave or conduct ourselves in the house of God and beyond. See, if we're going to follow Christ, we got to have some discipline. We have to deny, not the devil, ourselves. And see, if we're going to be wholehearted disciples, young folk, we got to be disciplined. Can't be out of control. You got to be disciplined to pray every single day. You got to be disciplined to be honest and have integrity every single day. You used to run in the street and be in the club. It's going to take some discipline not to run the street and be in the club. You're going to go off to school, to the military, and get jobs, and you're going to see other young folk doing some of everything. They're going to be completely out of control. But you got to have the discipline not to learn and follow their ways. You got to be to the point, look, y'all do what y'all want to do, but I control my life. Even God ain't going to make you do right or wrong. The devil ain't going to make you do it. It's about your choices. And see, as a disciple of Christ, young folk, we got to have some self-control. How do I get self-control? The Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit, young folk, is self-control. Because sometimes our self can be a trip. Lord, have mercy. How many in here, you a trip sometimes? Let me put up both of my hands. All of us in here. Sometimes we do what we know we have no business doing. Sometimes we say what we have no business. So anyone let nobody put a gun to our head and made us do it? It was just simply our choice. But now the Lord is saying, I need you to be a wholehearted disciple. I need you to get some dominion over your life. I need you to get some control over your life. You ain't got to keep smoking it. That's your choice. You ain't got to keep hoeing. That's your choice. You ain't got to keep listening to that music. That's your choice. Now, if we make the bad choice, then we give place to the enemy. He gonna come right in and do what he do. Steal, kill, and destroy. But it ain't him. He waiting to see what our choice is gonna be. The serpent did not make Eve eat from the tree. That was her choice. Now, once she did it, he came in and did what he do. Steal, kill, and destroy. And God had to allow her to reap what she sowed. Because there is nothing new under the sun, and God does not change, it's the same thing with us. If you're not disciplined to pray, young folk, you're going to faint. If you are not in control of your prayer life, you're going to backslide. You can come and sing with us. You can clap, dance with us. But you ain't got no power because you ain't praying. If you ain't got the word in your heart, if it's not hidden in your heart, if you're not taking time throughout the day or week to get in God's word, listen to a message, you're going to sin. Not once. You're going to get into a place where you practice it. Why? David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not, or I might not choose to sin. You got to be disciplined, young folk. You and I, we have to be disciplined. And where God is trying to take us and what God wants to do in our life, bigger and better, it's going to require us to be disciples indeed, wholeheartedly. God is saying, I need you to get closer to me and not the social media. I need you to feel disconnected and feel bad when you're not connected to me, more so than when you're not connected to social media. I need you to be a disciple indeed. I need you to feel so connected to me that you start becoming a more cheerful giver instead of more cheerful in spending and receiving. Because see, some folk, they only get happy, as David said, when they find great treasure. He said, you know what? It's some folk, they find joy in receiving and spending. But the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Should we not spend and receive? No. But we should be sure enough happy when it's time to what? To give. Am I teaching Bible? Am I Bible? In my clothes, disciples have three characteristics, and it's all found in our main text. Y'all learn? See, God trying to mature us. Time to grow up. Okay, you're in your 20s now. I need you to grow up. You're going to high school now. I need you to grow up. This ain't middle school no more. This ain't elementary no more. I need you to grow up. Now, don't begin to thinking you all of that. You just in ninth grade, but we do need you to grow up some. Okay? Three traits of a wholehearted disciple, and then we're going to be done. The first one we have read. He said, if you abide in my word. A wholehearted disciple does what? They abide in God's word. Come on, I need a good response for some good teaching. They abide in the word. Good response for some good teaching. To abide simply means to walk in. I need you to think, talk, and choose the word. We got to be about that word, young folk. When you are watching Wildin' Out, 85 South Show and all that, and Carlos Miller and all them, they start saying something. You need to be so conscious of God to where when you hear it, you be like, that ain't what God's word say. Now, that's funny, but that ain't what God's word say. You are abiding in the word. When you get on Shade Room and these other outlets that curate and push you news, and you read certain articles, you need to be like, you know what? The Bible said that. The Bible said that would happen. That's you abiding in the word. You know, Brother Aaron brought to my attention last week after service, there's this ad on YouTube now. There's this ad when you are on YouTube. Y'all got YouTube. Okay. I know what kind of phone y'all got, but I got YouTube. And he was telling me, matter of fact, he showed it to me. He said, you know, Pastor, they got this ad now, and the ad simply says, am I gay? I don't know if y'all seen that. And I don't be searching and watching gay stuff. It just popped up. It just say, am I gay? And then it say, take the quiz. That's what it say. It say, matter of fact, get my phone. I screenshotted it. I did. I screenshotted it because I was like, I'm not gay, but I'm going to show it to you after because I think it's on my iPad. But remember, the serpent or the devil is the most subtle beast in the field. Just a subtle ad. Had the little, what they call the gay colors, the rainbow colors. But we know in the Bible the rainbow is connected to God. We know that. But they took it and tried to pervert it. And so the ad just say, am I gay? And then it say, take the quiz. I didn't take the quiz. Aaron said he was going to take the quiz. So I'm going to let him take the quiz and come back and tell me. You gay? But something real subtle. You need to be seeing stuff like that when it's pushed to you. You need to be knowing, no, I'm a man. I like women. I like women. Breast and female booty. I like women. That's it. You need to be like, I'm female. I like man chest. I'm man. Well, that's what the Bible say. He made woman for man. And even if a girl don't like you right now as a young man, that don't mean you need to go try something else. Just wait a minute. Your voice gonna start changing. You're gonna get a little taller, a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Your features gonna come out. Just hold on. But see, they'll teach you, be fluid. Go with what? Whatever. And so when you see and hear these things on social media, you need to be connected to God. Hold up now. I don't do that. I'm saved. I don't say. Now, why they always smoking weed on this podcast? Why they always smoke? Every time we get on here, why all these rappers got their own weed strand now? Why they got their own strand? Why they got their own cookie? Why they got their own edible? Why all these celebrities selling drugs now? Selling alcohol? Why all these rappers got their own liquor? Why? Your answer's in the word. Trying to get you out the word. It happened in Daniel's day, and there's nothing new under the sun. And so when you are abiding in the word, you thinking word, you talking word, and you choosing word. Y'all still with me? Look at John 15:5. Y'all ever notice that? Everybody got their own liquor now. Everybody pushing their own liquor now. Now everybody got their own weed now. They don't want you walking or living with a sound mind. And that's what God gave us. But weed and alcohol, popping pills and all that, you ain't gonna have no sound mind. I was listening to this one podcast, I can't remember who it was, and this guy made a good, before we look at John 15:5, and I want to share that, he made a good point. And it was just right. He said, you know what, back in the 90s and early 2000s, people that made music and was rapping and so forth, it was about selling drugs and getting money. That's what most of the music was about. It was about selling drugs, getting money, having sex. He said, but have you noticed now all these new rappers, it's about using drugs. It's about you. It ain't about selling them. It's about using drugs. So if the enemy can have a generation of young folk coked out, weed out, high, your decision making is going to lead you to destruction. But yet you call it cool. In hell, it ain't cool. Jesus said, John 15:5, I'm almost done. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look at this, bears much fruit. You're going to be productive. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, look, God gives us a choice. We don't have to be in the will of God. And you can go out and you can do some things and be successful according to the world standard. But you still can do nothing. Because you can die by gaining the whole world and still lose your soul. So what have you gained? Nothing. So it's best, according to the text, to stay connected to the true vine. Just stay connected and abide in him, and God gonna help us to be productive. Because see, in each and every one of us, God has given us abilities and talents. Everyone in here, some of you got one and some of you got more. But you got to find out what is it that God has put in you so you can be productive. See, if you sell drugs, that's just basically saying you possibly are good at being an entrepreneur. You just got the wrong product. You need to find another product. And the way it's set up nowadays, young folk, you can sell digital products. You can sell music. You can sell do-rags. You can do whatever. I do. That's what I sell. I sell them online. Yeah. So you find what it, Lord, I'm good at selling, but I was brought up, the only thing I could sell were these pills or this weed. That ain't the only thing you can sell. It's a brother in Noonan who was working a full-time job. You know what he do now? He's a trader. A trader. He quit his job. He was making so much money. All he would do is go and find things that people didn't want no more, fix them, and turn around and sell it. That's all he do now. And he posted on social media from his phone. He making so much money, he don't work a 9-to-5 no more. He find lawnmowers, fix the lawnmower, and then turn around and flip it and sell it. Find wash machines that folk think is broke, fix it, and then turn around and sell it. It's so many ways, young folk. It's just the enemy I have folk mind just totally messed up. But Jesus said, if you just abide in me, see, the Holy Spirit got us in all truth. He'll tell you, look, sell this right here. He told a woman in scripture, go get some jars, borrow some jars, pour oil in them and sell them, and you're going to be debt free. And you and your family, y'all going to eat and live for a long time. And guess what? She started her little home-based business. She was abiding in the Lord, and the Lord caused her to be productive. You just have to find the will of God for your life. Let's go to John 15 and verse 7. Look at this. He says, if you abide in me, it's a choice, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Lord, if I'm a disciple or a wholehearted disciple and I abide in you, you mean whatever I ask you, it'll be done? Now, of course, what we ask need to line up with his word. But if we ask it, he said, it's going to be what? Done? Lord, I want a wife. Well, abide in me, and I'll give you a good wife. Because the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Well, Lord, help me with a business. I want a business. Well, you're abiding in my word, I'll give it to you. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Could you imagine P.L.? Abiding in the Lord, and he say, Lord, bless my real estate business. And guess what God do? Start blessing his business. Woo! Could you imagine if Naya said, Lord, I'm going to be a wholehearted disciple and abide in you. Bless my YouTube business. And guess what he does? He just blesses her YouTube channel. Michael out here washing cars. Lord, I'm abiding in you. Send me some more customers or show me how to get some more customers. And God just bless his business. Raven out here drawing folk and drawing things, and she abiding in the Lord. and the Lord send her more business. Whatever you ask, y'all ain't reading it. If you abide in him and we're doing his will, whatever we ask, it shall be. Is that not some good news? It don't say you need a college degree. It don't say you need a doctorate. No, it said we need to abide in him. You get this while you're a teenager. Ain't no telling what God gonna do in your... Well, yeah, it is. He gonna do what you ask. Lord, I need a better car. He'll do it. He'll do it. Bless me with a house. I said I'd give you houses and land, so just abide in my word and I'll do it. Lord, I want an apartment complex. That ain't too hard for God. Lord, I done messed up and got this girl pregnant. Help me raise this child. He'll help you. God don't help perfect, just people that's striving to be perfect. He helped folk that's broken and made some bad choices too. He'll help you get your life together. But we need to abide in the word. Then he says, and you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Am I doing right this morning? Is the word helping? And you shall know the truth. Second trait we should have is knowing the truth. Young folk need to know the truth. Good God. I need to be aware of the will of God. Why is this important? Hosea 4 and 6. Because God's people are destroyed for what they don't know. I need to know God's will about this, that, and the other, so my life is not ruined. Does God want me as a single man having other women living in my apartment or my house? I need to know the will of God. I need to know. Old folk call it shacking. I need to know the will of God. Does God want me getting my forehead tattooed? Does God want me getting my nipple pierced? Does God want me getting my boyfriend name tattooed on my thigh? Or doing it again? No, because some folk do things before they get the truth. But yet you be tempted to go back and do it again. These are issues that y'all need to know. You need to know the truth. Is it okay for me to smoke weed as a Christian? Is it okay for me to be involved with online dating? I need to know. I need to know. When you are his disciples, you know the truth. You're aware. You get to a point as a young person, you don't want to be doing stuff and folk ask you, why you do that? And you be like, I don't know. You need to what? You need to know. People are in jail for lack of knowledge. You can't be like, officer, I didn't know. He said, well, watch your head as you get in the car. Why I got this late fee? I didn't know I had to pay it by the end. Well, you the one signed the paperwork. So I need my payment and my late fee. See, as you grow, young folk, and come from under the wing of your parents or off the breast of your mama, not knowing things gonna cost you money. Not knowing things will cost you money. And see, when you young, teenage years, you may not know certain things, and people will still call themselves your friend. But as you get old in your 20s, if you be on that dumb stuff, some folk ain't going to want fool with you. I'm gonna be like, that girl don't know nothing. She green. She don't know. But you need to know. You need to know the truth as a disciple. You need to know how to use a credit card. Don't be scared of a credit card. Credit cards are good if you know how to use them. Debit card, if you use that ain't going to affect your credit. But if you use a credit card right, it can help your credit. But if you don't know how to use it, it can hurt your credit. These are things you need to know. You need to know how to change a tire on a car, brother. 17 on the side of the road talking about you waiting on your mama. You need to know how to change the tire on a car or on your bike. You need to know. Whichever one you got, you need to know. Is this good teaching? You just don't take certain pills just because the doctor told you to take them, young folk. Or you saw somebody on a YouTube channel saying you need to take this to do, you know, for this to happen. No, you need to know what you're putting in your body. See the baby giving me amens. You see that? Y'all ain't gonna do it. And if we know the truth and abide in his word, we're gonna be free. That's what God wants us, young folk. He wants us delivered. One of the aspects of being free is being delivered. And some of us, don't be offended when I say this. It may make you mad, but the truth will make us free. Some of us are not delivered in certain areas because you're not wholehearted disciples. You need to be delivered. You need to be delivered. You still be depressed more so than you are happy? You need to be delivered. You need to abide in the word, know the word, so God can make you free. You still get mad when they ask for an offering at church? You need to be delivered. You need to be delivered. And God wants us to be delivered. Am I right? I want to be free. I want to be free in every aspect of my life. What about you? I want to be. Look at this. Last verse, John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free in the... See, when God make a person free, they show enough free. When God make us happy, we show enough happy. We don't need other things and people to make us happy when God done made us happy. Yeah. You're going to need things and people in life, but things and people should not be the source of your happiness. All right, you need to learn how to be happy without weed. You need to learn how to be happy without alcohol. You need to learn how to be happy as a young woman without the touch of another young woman. I'm only happy when I'm in your arms. That ain't true happiness. Even if you're a young woman and it's another young man, you need to learn how to be happy first by yourself. Me and my wife have had to learn that. I told her, look, I'm happy. I was happy before you got here. I want to be happy while you here. And I want to be happy afterwards. After you leave my presence. Same thing from her. When the Son makes us free, we're free what? How many want to be free? Well, you know what? In those areas that you're not free, you're not delivered, and you know those areas, you're going to have to man or woman up and be a wholehearted disciple. Start getting in that word, knowing the truth, and God going to make you free. I'm going to say this because I want it recorded, and then I'm done. Oftentimes when you start doing what your preacher has taught you or what is in God's written word, it hurts initially. It hurts. It's almost like you're going through a withdrawal symptoms. But listen, the hurt and the pain don't last always. Go ahead and go through that stage of hurt and pain and get to another level. So you can be delivered or free. All right? Y'all understand that? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the teaching and for the service. Come on, let's put our hands together. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to today's message. please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.